on this episode of Bantha Milk Podcast. The Bad Batch Season 3 is back, and so is Nick, who might represent or look kind of like the bad doctor in The Bad Batch.
Hemlock?
With Hemlock, without a beard. Hemlock doesn't have a beard.
Dot, dot, dot.
Nick does.
A lot of stuff.
I don't know.
Intro music. Feels no good to be dead.
So where do I talk? Do I talk? Is this where I gotta go?
Lean back a little more. Lean back really far.
There you go. Oh, I found it. Oh, there it is. That's been a while. I have to rehearse my instrument. Me. Hi, Rob. How are you?
Hi. It's been. I forgot our whole rundown. Our whole show rundown. I was ready to put the iPad away, and I was like, oh wait, I have to change the song for Star Wars news. Oh wait, we have to open up our alcohols. Oh wait, we have to banter.
Yeah.
Hey Nick, welcome back.
I'm here and I am alive. Yeah,
you are alive.
It's been a stressful couple weeks. I was supposed to be back. Hey, it's the Nick siren. He's back.
The Nick siren. He's back.
Yeah, I was supposed to be back a couple weeks ago to chat with y'all, and that night it turned out they didn't want me to leave my daughter at home alone with my dog.
Whatever. She's like 18 now. She can stay home by herself.
Essentially, you know.
18 months.
Yeah, it's actually almost that. Yeah, almost that.
There you go.
So, yeah, but I am back, and I am ready to go. I've got this bottle of Cedar Ridge straight rye whiskey sent to me from my brother-in-law out in Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah, so
why were there only
potatoes?
Nobody wants to be Miss Idaho.
Oh boy.
You can fill in the rest of that if you want to. It's not politically correct anymore. Anywho, welcome to Star Wars Talk.
Star Wars Talk.
Star Wars Talk.
I think it's Bantha Milk
Podcast. All about Star Wars here.
This is Star Wars Talk coming at you live.
Coming at you live on the sixes.
The sixes, twelves, and nines. The twelves? On the twelves.
So the sixes, the twos, and the nines.
That's right.
The twos, the sixes, and the nines. There we go. We got to get it in some kind of order.
If we had started this podcast, this exact podcast,
this one, Bantha Milk Podcast,
like in 1987, Casey Kasem would eventually come on.
Casey Kasem. Today on this episode of Casey Kasem's American Top 40, I think he would be on.
I think we could have gotten him. I think we
could have.
He's one of those stars that I think would have made it happen.
He definitely would have wanted to come.
Unlike today's stars, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, whatever.
Won't answer my emails.
I know. Won't come on the show. But it's okay. We have a. Dave Filoni will be on later today.
Yeah,
we just
later.
Have to go. Like, the Uber
as
is...
As soon as we're done with our podcast, with our broadcast, he'll be on.
He'll be on.
So just wait right after, like, just stick around on YouTube. You might have to hit the replay button on YouTube just to watch. It's just part
It'll
of the algorithm.
Just,
you have
yeah,
to
it's
just
weird
replay.
That way.
And just watch the whole thing again.
But I do swear that he listens to our show because of what is happening in the Bad Batch right now. It's
okay.
not all stuff, but some of the things that we have talked about are in the Bad Batch now, and I think it's because he listens to the show, and he says, you know what? Those guys, Rob and Nick, are right.
I can really think of no other possible
explanation.
Man, it's got to be. Right?
It's got to be. It's got to be. All right, so what are you drinking there? You got some whiskey over
there? Yeah, I got, again, it's Cedar Ridge. It's a rye whiskey, which is not, I'm usually drinking bourbon whiskey, but this is a rye bourbon whiskey, which is good. It's a little got a little more heat in it than I'm used to.
A little more heat. I was going to say burned. The wheat is, or the rye is different than wheat.
Well, you see, unlike most rye whiskeys, Cedar Ridge uses malted rye in its mash bill.
Malt, yes.
This rye malt is naturally helpful in the mashing process and adds weight and complex flavors of toast and biscuit to the whiskey. Personally, I wanna eat this with scrambled eggs.
There you go.
You know,
yes, I understand.
Or like, you know, you get bacon, egg, and cheese on a whiskey.
Yes, you know. It makes sense to me. we have down here pork roll, egg and cheese. But elsewhere, it's called...
I won't say it.
You
I
don't
refuse.
Know it. Taylor Swift ham?
Taylor Swift ham. Yeah, no, I'm not... I don't like to say those words out loud.
So, in your former restaurant, because your restaurant is more Central Jersey, if there was a Central Jersey.
Technically, and most New Jersey would argue with you about this, but technically it lied in Region 3, which makes it technically South Jersey.
Okay, but it's the uppermost of South Jersey.
It sure is.
I don't think there's a Central Jersey either, but I think
I think anything that has a top and a bottom inherently has a middle.
Sure.
But, you know.
Right. So, but your restaurant is at the uppermost of the southern Jerseys.
If New Jersey had a tushy, it'd be right up on the top of the hips.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's very nice up there. So, do they call it Taylor ham up there, or do they call it pork roll up there?
Okay. Yeah, it's pork roll.
Yes. And we're talking, it's like 20 miles difference from where?
It's all it takes in Jersey.
I know, it is crazy.
Honestly, like with but I guess you insert any state and those silly little regional dialect things kind of start creeping
change up all over the place. Well, I found another in the back of my refrigerator, Victory Dirt Wolf. Double IPA. So it's, I don't know, let's see.
It's like a regular IPA, but twice.
Twice of it. It's two IPAs shoved into
in
one
bottle.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they can fit it all in there.
It is weird.
Like, what a time to be alive.
You can put
two IPAs in one bottle.
Yeah.
What will they do next? It's a pretty nice little pour you got there, Mr. Robert, Mr. Bob.
In our time off, I've been practicing.
Yeah? Good for you.
No, not really.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. All right. So,
so you got your Dirt Wolf.
I got my Dirt Wolf. Cheers.
Cheers to
Ohio.
All of the batches, both bad and good. Here's to the troops.
Here's to the troops.
Both sides.
What was that from?
That's The Office.
That's The Office.
And Phil is just like,
what did I say? In class, I always go, question.
Which type of bear is best?
I go, brown bear or black bear? And all the kids just look at me. And one kid goes, brown bear. Another kid goes, black bear. I go, false. Brown bear, black bear, Battlestar Galactica. They all look at me and they're like, what?
Yeah, they don't start watching The Office until they get to like 11th grade.
Yeah.
Then their minds start to expand.
Their mind opens up more and they can understand humor. So that was that. So let's hit up all of those other shows on the Ears Up Network that continue going. We have Ears Up. We don't have Ears Up In Depth anymore. The last episode just aired yesterday.
In the arms of an angel. we have DCMA. Anyway, sorry.
Jeremy is stepping away from doing the weekly or bi-weekly show. He will still do his SpectraTime radio segments that he used to do on the regular Ears Up show. So we have Ears Up. No longer In Depth unless somebody else wants to step in there. We have the Puny Pod, the Marvel guys,
Puny Pod.
We have the Sacred Jedi Texts. That's our
Facebook group.
We have the Supreme Resort.
Delicious.
It's Dole Whip is the Supreme Resort.
There's just a dollop will do you.
Yeah. And then we have the Scraping of the Vault.
Yeah, Scrape That
which
Vault.
Which they are the latest episode. They were watching Labyrinth.
Oh, my wife would be all on that.
Okay, because Dan is a big fan of David Bowie.
Sure.
So they had like viewers or dealer's choice, I think they called it. So
sure.
He said he wanted to do Labyrinth. So they're all about Labyrinth this episode.
I missed the boat on Labyrinth because Labyrinth is one of those that like I feel like if you don't watch it as a kid and you watch it as an adult, it's really dark and weird.
Yes.
So like it's okay if you grow up with the dark and weird. But
right.
Like my wife like was like, when we started dating, you have to watch Labyrinth. And I watch it, I'm like, this is cool.
Like, why did I watch this?
This is fine.
Why did I have...
On the other hand, I didn't really watch Princess Bride until I was an adult either.
Okay.
And by adult, I mean like 18 or 19, which is not an adult. But I loved it.
Yes.
And I love, like, that's one of those that I feel like would be weird if you didn't grow up with too, but I loved
it. So. Well, it's because you liked, what was the little boy's name?
Dan Savage.
Dan Savage.
Is it Dan Savage? No, Savage is the other brother.
Ben Savage is his brother. Jim, Dan, Dave.
Just start
Joe,
listing
Doug,
dude names. Doug Savage.
Brian, Joe.
Brian Savage.
No, what was his name? It wasn't,
All right.
Is it Ben? Ben Savage
Ben
is the other
is,
one.
Ben is Boy Meets World.
Yes. So viewers in the chat there, tell
Fred.
Us. Fred.
Fred Savage.
Fred Savage.
Oh, Freddy boy.
Oh, Fred Savage.
Oh, Freddy.
Good old Frederick Savage. Yep. So, yeah. So he was, that was one of my dad's like favorite movies. And I remember he recorded on VHS.
Did you get the awesome commercials in there too?
No, I think this was before the VHS knew how to. Oh, did your chair pop?
No, I kicked the table.
Okay. It was before they figured out how to put the encryption on it so that you couldn't record it. So I think he recorded it from one that we rented from Video Village.
Video Village.
And then he had it like on a special shelf because he liked it so much. And I wanted to record something else. I don't know what it was.
No.
And all the other tapes were like full or whatever. And I was like, oh, I'll record on this. He was so mad.
Yeah, I bet.
He was like, you don't respect anything of mine. And I was like, sorry.
I mean, did you?
I didn't really. You're as a kid. You're a kid. You don't all you care about is yourself.
Yeah, and like, you know, video games.
And video games.
Fortnite.
Especially in the early 80s.
Fortnite was huge. Enormous. Was huge,
yeah.
I remember, like, at the mall, they used to have Fortnite advertisements, and, you know, you'd be in
Radio Shack.
I was actually going to say Sam Goody. You get a Sam Goody, and you got to get the, you know.
Looking for the cassettes.
Goody cassette. Yeah. The Fortnite cassette.
The Fortnite cassette. And, you know, it came in that really long plastic thing, so you couldn't steal the cassette.
Oh, my God, I forgot about
those. You had to go over to.
I used to work at a record shop, and I forgot about those. That's crazy.
Unless, of course, you know the guy that works there, and then he tells you to come in, and he says, follow me around the store, and he just starts handing you cassettes and CDs.
Is this a thing that happened to you?
I can neither deny nor confirm this.
Yeah. It just seems like something that might happen.
And then you walk out, and you go back to your store, and then about an hour later, when his shift is done, he comes back to your store, and you give him some of your free stuff, and then you split up the free stuff that you got from his store. But I don't know anybody that would do anything like that.
That seems like something that.
And it's weird that malls are going out of business now.
That is a little strange to me. It seems like a booming industry.
That's something popular.
I blame Fortnite.
I do blame Fortnite.
They stopped advertising in malls. When's the last time you saw a Fortnite advertisement in the mall?
I know exactly.
Probably 1985.
1985. Yeah, the last time you could get a Fortnite cassette in the mall.
What is this world coming to?
This world. All right, so I have some Star Wars news.
Oh, that's right. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Not just to BS about all kinds of dumb things we can remember.
Yeah, that's part of the job.
That is part of the job. So please, the people who are still sticking with us, please tell a friend.
Tell three friends. Tell them to tell 11 friends each. And tell them, if each of those friends tell 33 people each.
Right.
And just each one of those tell 100,000. Like, I mean.
I am not saying the words Ponzi scam. But
I think I literally just heard you say those two words back to back.
Or pyramid scheme. I'm not saying
that
either.
Now you're saying more of those things.
I know. I'm not saying any of that. But just letting you know, the people that are in already, if you get your friends to listen, then you get a cut of their cut. And then when they get their friends to listen.
And everyone will get a cut of, and I'll pledge to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who gets a new subscriber for us will get a cut of all the money we've earned on this podcast, up to this date.
We will.
You will be in on a percentage, baby.
And we'll even do it tax-free.
Wow.
That's how good
that's generous.
Yeah. So, you know, we will Venmo it to you tax-free. Everything that we have earned.
Everything.
All of it. You know what? We'll give you all of it.
It might wind up being a bill, if I'm being honest. Just send us cash.
Just
loads of
stacks.
It.
Stacks.
We shout our silly Star Wars conversations into the internet.
We do.
And there are ears out there. And one of those ears has to be attached to an eccentric billionaire.
Just one of them. Two of them.
Well, no. He lost the other one in a tragic dog accident.
Oh,
a chihuahua bit
off. Chihuahua.
But no, out there somewhere, there is someone driving, sitting in their Tesla as it drives them to their work.
Mm-hmm. While they're playing on their Apple.
On their Apple, whatever, goggles.
Goggles, yes.
And they're listening to us, and they're actually getting to watch us and sit between us.
Uh-huh.
Just because they want to relive this experience and like know what it's like to be a part of this experience. To that person, I say, all it takes, small loan of $1 million.
That's it. If you get three people to listen to us, I'll even let you come on the show and say hi to them.
And he'll wear a bikini.
And I'll wear a bikini? Nobody wants to see that.
I kind of do. I'm kind of intrigued.
You're intrigued?
I wasn't at first, but then I'm like, wait a minute.
You're going to be highly disappointed, let me tell you.
For science.
For science. Research for science. All right, we're also
medical science.
We're going to start a 5K also. The beginning will be over
for
here.
For Rob,
for science. The end.
We'll just show everyone a picture of Rob in a bikini. This is what we're raising money for.
This is what we're raising money for.
It's
for this.
Look, feast on this.
Look at this. You got to feel sorry for this.
This has got to be worth at least a little bit more.
Got to be worth something. All right, let's get into some Star Wars news, shall we?
I think it's probably for the best.
Star Wars news.
Oh, feels so good to be back.
Feels so good.
All right,
to be
so
back.
I have a couple of articles here for you.
Just for
Respawn,
me.
The game company. This is brand new, hot off the presses. Yeah. Hot, 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 hot.
Feeling hot, hot.
Respawn's hot. Star Wars first-person shooter is canceled.
Yeah, so there has been like on several different occasions in the past couple of weeks, news from video game developers like canceling projects and like canning half their staff.
Their staff. Yeah, this has 630 people. So far are being canned from this.
Which is crazy considering the like success of the most recent Star Wars game. Respawn also is in charge of Apex Legends, which always has a lot of people playing. So I don't know. That's kind of strange. I was bummed to hear that.
Yeah. Today, EA announced a major company shakeup will result in roughly 670 individuals or 5% of its workflow losing their jobs. As part of that same reorganization, Respawn's Star Wars first-person shooter that's in development at Respawn is being canceled. So, did Respawn do your other show that you really liked? The movie that or the game that you liked?
So the Jedi Fallen Order
Fallen
game.
Orders,
and then the new one that I haven't gotten to play
Outlaws,
yet. Outlaws, yes. No, Jedi Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
I don't know. They might have done Outlaw. I forget if that was them or not. That might have been... the same people who do Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
I forget. But yeah, the Jedi Fallen Order and the Jedi Survivor did great. So
yeah. The cuts continue. Additionally, EA will be restructuring its Battlefield team somewhat following the departure of Marcus Lento. Lento?
Yeah, sounds right to me.
Yeah. Announced yesterday it's sunsetting Ridgeline Games, folding some of its developers into Ripple Effect.
You just fold it in.
You just fold it in. There it is. Now you're in there. Danny Isaac and Darren White and at Criterion will oversee single-player work on the series going forward. And EA also will sunset a number of mobile games, including its already announced F1 Mobile Racing and MLB Tap Sports.
Not MLB Tap Sports.
As well as this one, you're really going to be disappointed in this one. Kim Kardashian Hollywood.
No, please say it isn't so.
Yeah,
please.
Rob, come on.
No,
I mean,
don't do that to me.
You need to dress Kim Kardashian in all these Hollywood things.
I got to go. I got to go grieve privately.
Can you imagine? I'm sure there's a game like this. I don't play fashion games, but I'm sure there's got to be some part where you are editing your avatar and you take it to the plastic surgeon and then you can, you know, plump its lips or remove
that's
its
gotta
cheekbones
exist, right?
Or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, we do that with character creation. I feel like every video game.
In every video game, yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. So, they are, as of now, they're cutting out 670 people, and we're losing a game that it says it's in development. So, I don't even know how far into the game they were getting. So, they're probably like, since we haven't really done much except for have four meetings about this game, we're going to cancel this one before
all
we
the
do
voice
meetings.
Acting's already done, all the rendering.
Yeah,
they
can you
just
imagine?
Needed to put like the, you know, the plastic sleeves that go on the outside of the boxes.
That
was the only thing
that's
that was
all
left.
They had left.
And they were like, ah, scrap it.
Yeah. What's his name that we have on our show?
Johnny Jalopy.
No, John Jackson, not John Jackson Miller. He's the author. The Dave Filoni. The guy who was Boba Fett.
Mark Anthony Austin.
Mark Anthony Austin. Yeah, he did all the animation for the whole game. It's all done.
That's it.
And now they're like, oh, no, you're all done. Mm. So forget about it. Yeah, so that's a little disappointing. The other news that I have, according to the Cosmic Circus, The Mandalorian and Grogu, a movie that is coming out.
Yeah, I really hope that's a working title.
Starring.
That's a really crappy title, if that's the title of the movie.
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, honestly. It's like a buddy cop.
It
really
is a buddy cop, yeah. The Mandalorian and Grogu will be filmed under the working title of Thunder Alley.
Oh, so Thunder Alley is the working
Thunder
title.
Alley is the working title.
Okay.
They are also filming the entire movie in California. They got a $24 million tax cut to film the entire movie in California.
Let's hope that means they're going to use some of the deserts and not just stay in the volume.
Not just the volume the whole time, yes. So I mean, I hope they don't use the volume the whole time.
Right.
Yes, it's an amazing device. It's an amazing studio set because you can see it, the lighting and all that good stuff. But as we talked about during the last Ahsoka, you can tell when they're doing fighting scenes in the volume because everybody's staying in that 20-foot square area.
Yep.
So hopefully, but a lot of articles I was reading about this, they were saying, you know, they filmed all the Endor scenes in the redwoods of California.
Yep.
So there's plenty of things, you know, like you said, they have the desert. So there's a lot of places that they could go to film in California.
Frisco.
Yeah. They could go right in the middle of the harbor.
Right. No, I was figuring right outside the house where Full House was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good Star Wars place.
Have you been there, by the way?
No, I haven't.
So when we went on our trip to California a couple years ago,
the hills would give me anxiety.
The hills are alive. What hills? The hills of San Francisco, going up and down the hills.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's not too bad. Yeah. There's only the one street that's like super windy. I mean, it is interesting. You see all the cars parked; they all have their tires curbed.
Oh wow!
Towards the curb, so that way if the brake does, they'll just go right into the curb and not go all the way down the hill.
That's thinking right there.
Yeah, I don't want to say, you know, laws or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure it's some kind of a law in San Francisco that you have to curb your tires. But I'm not.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So anyway, but we did go see the Full House house.
Did you?
Yeah. There's a giant billboard out front of it that says, "This is a private house. Do not come knock on our door."
Wow.
Is it Tanner's? The Tanners don't live here.
Yeah.
Please don't double park your car, because the neighbors won't be able to get out. So there's this giant like warning, like please be considerate of the neighborhood.
Wouldn't
around
that be
us.
A delight to just have outside your house?
I know
that must really up the resale value. The curb appeal.
Imagine like the neighbors, you know, like their house. Oh, I'm right next door. This is cool.
This is Kimmy Gibbler's house.
Yeah, and then like you find out that 24 hours a day there's all constantly cars driving up and down.
Yep.
So whatever, but yeah, it was neat. So anyway, so yep, so they are Thunder Alley is the name of that one. I hope, like you said, the Mandalorian and Grogu does get a better name than
I think Thunder Alley is still a better title. It just seems that way.
And then while Ridley's Star Wars movie will be known as New Jedi Order, so Daisy Ridley's movie is going to be called New Jedi Order. Some Star Wars fans may recognize the Mandalorian movie's working title from the Legends novel Before the Storm, which mentioned a region of space along the New Republic borders known as Thunder Alley that the Second Fleet had been patrolling. At this time, it is unknown if Lucasfilm chose the working title Thunder Alley purely as an Easter egg, or if it means that the upcoming movie will feature the space region and thus bring it back into the official Star Wars canon. So that's that.
That is that.
One more news thing, and then we can talk all about the Bad Batch first four episodes,
because the
Good Batch. Star Wars Dark Forces. Did you play that game?
Was that the one with Kyle Katarn?
It's a first-person shooter developed by Night Drive Studios. Players will assume the role of Kyle Katarn. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That was the first of the Kyle Katarn video games.
So they're remastering it and relaunching it
for
PlayStation 4.
Okay.
So you can get it on the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series 6, Nintendo Switch, and PC.
The remaster makes me, because like I have played a couple, like I played, I remember Jedi Academy was like my favorite one when I was a kid.
Okay.
And it does not hold up well. Not because it's a bad game. The game is still like the story is intriguing and interesting, but the controls are just so antiquated.
Oh, right.
Like they're not intuitive, and they've done so much in video games in the last 15 years, like making things easier to use. So
sure.
I hope the remaster, I would imagine if they're remastering, they will remaster
the controls as well. Setup. So I saw they showed a split screen or a side by side, whatever, of the original versus the remaster. And the remaster looks, it's exactly the same. It just looks a lot cleaner and a lot nicer. I didn't even think of the controls being janky compared to today's
right.
graphics and the computers that today can work it. So hopefully they updated that as well, because it's a big push that they're doing for this, that it's a fully remastered version of the classic action first-person shooter.
It's nice that they are canceling a new IP and they're greenlighting the, remake of a 30-year-old, yeah. like 25-year-old game.
Yeah, they're going to redo it all over again just because when you could have something new that nobody played before.
Yep. But
whatever. All right, so let's hit a commercial at this point.
What did the commercial ever do to you?
What did it ever do to you? Why are you hitting it?
Now from a word from our sponsors.
Was that some good stuff?
Yes, it was good stuff.
Good stuff.
Stuff that you should buy. Stuff that I have already bought. Stuff that you will buy.
I own three of them.
Yeah, right. Using them right now. Using you can't right even now. Tell. Go out all in public and no one will ever know.
All right. So the Bad Batch season 3 came out last week. And every Wednesday until they run out of Bad Batch episodes, which are, there are all episodes, season 3, sorry, it has,
18 episodes.
Here we go, you got it. I see 15.
I know, I was just guessing because
you were
taking
too long. That was a good guess. Yeah, 15 episodes. So there's 15 episodes. We've gotten 11 left.
That's math.
You're good with math.
Numbers, man.
Boom.
Right there.
Right there. We've gotten 4 episodes so far. We got 3 episodes
How
that
many?
Came out. 4.
And then 3. There's 1.
3. And then 1 came out.
1 and 3. 4.
Yesterday.
Right. Okay. Sorry. I'm not very good with numbers.
Wait. I'm really good with math. No, I'm not good with math.
Anyway. So, The Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
4 episodes. So, overall impressions so far.
Did you finish watching season 2, by the way?
I did not finish the last couple episodes.
Oh, so
I got myself
really
caught
good.
Up.
Yeah.
And so, I do still need to, watch those episodes with a more fine-tooth comb. But I missed the last couple. So, I got myself caught up before I watched. And the first few of these have felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 1 and 3...
Yep.
Have been the strongest of the
yes.
of the bunch, but that kind of makes sense with 1 being the premiere, and then 2 being just kind of 1 is
right.
Hey, this is what happened, and this is what we're setting up, and then 2 is kind of building.
Two is the other half of the story,
right.
What's going on with everybody else,
right?
And then 3 was going back to 1, going
right.
back to
Mount
Omega,
Tantus.
Yes, and then. Did you did watch 4 as well,
mm-hmm.
the one that just came out on Wednesday, which was good also. I really enjoyed. I feel like the art animation in this has gotten much better this season. It really looks like a painting.
Yeah, so something that I didn't realize until very recently, like this week, and it changed my look on the animation of this Clone Wars and all of the kind of more recent ones. I didn't realize, so I saw an interview with George Lucas. Checking.
Who's that? George Lucas, never heard of him.
It's my buddy Georgie Lucas.
Georgie.
He's from Yuma.
G-L.
Yuma, Ohio. I think it's actually Yuma, North Dakota. Anyway, so George Lucas gave this interview about the animation of the Clone Wars and all these. And apparently the character models are based off of marionette puppets.
Oh.
So their movement is all based off of a marionette puppet.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense if you watch them.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at the finer details on them, you can see paintbrush strokes on their
yes.
hair and stuff.
Yeah.
That's intentional.
And even, in episode 4, they had a lot of close-ups of Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was supposed to look, dirty and stuff from being,
right.
troubled, there was a lot of paintbrush strokes
yep.
on her face. Yeah. Okay, continue.
Yeah. No, that's,
yeah.
it's just I had never put that together because there's always been an odd quality to the animation style, and some of it I've really liked, and the parts that I have liked the least have been the lightsaber battles, because I think they, except for the most recent ones where they started using the actual motion capture.
Right, when they did the final season
with Ahsoka and
yeah,
Maul.
Yeah, that
Clone
was
Wars.
Awesome.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Clone Wars lightsaber battles are very herky-jerky,
mm-hmm.
hit.
Yeah.
Hit. There's not a lot of flow to it. And thinking about it and like knowing that they're going for marionette puppets, it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it actually does make sense. So it is like the animation continues to get better.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, when you look at like some of the beautiful shots in the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, and then
yeah.
It's,
and they were all like very artsy painted, mm-hmm. like you said, like paintbrushes. So it was like somebody painted this beautiful painting of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I went back after I watched episode 4 today and I saw Ahsoka's face, not Ahsoka's, Omega's face was very painted looking. And I didn't notice it before. So then I went back and I watched season 1 or one of the episodes of season 1. And I was like just standing real close to the TV to see. And they did do it from the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're really accentuating it a lot more. Maybe the technology is better where they can really have that artsy feel go all the way around and the graphics can keep up with it or whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah. So I agree with that. I thought it was very, very interesting looking. Mm-hmm. So it looked really cool. So episode 1, season 3, episode 1, Confined. This is where we're on Tantus and Omega is in her new life, because at the end of season 2,
she was taken back by Anala Say, right?
Yeah, Anala Say was
Hemlock.
Hemlock, yeah. So Hemlock, I like Hemlock.
Yeah, he's cool. He's got a cool name. He's got some cool hair.
He does have
his
some
hair
cool
hair.
His
hair is very styled, like straight
and
down.
And that's
where
I said you reminded me. He reminded me of you,
yeah,
because when you get your haircut,
part.
Yeah, he's got the hard part. You get it shaved really short on the sides and the back. So if Hemlock grew a beard, you could be him you could cosplay as Hemlock.
Maybe I'll just become him one day.
There you go.
Just a murderous, crazy Imperial.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think so.
I mean, why not? If you can do it in the movies, you should be able to do it in real life.
If there's money in it.
If there's money in it, right.
I'm sure there's more money in that in the teaching.
I would think
so. It worked for Walter White.
It sure did. It sure did. I mean, you can just become...
I'll be a teacher / Imperial slave driver.
What was Walter White's... name when he was
Heisenberg.
Heisenberg, yeah, even the next Heisenberg.
Yeah.
Do you know who does the voice of Hemlock?
I don't.
Jimmy Simpson.
Who's Jimmy Simpson?
Jimmy Simpson was in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Did you ever watch it?
I've seen, but I've like.
He was like that one of the family members of like the McCoys or McCoos or something like that. Like the really weird. Like inbred family that was always like their nemesis type of thing.
Hmm.
He was on that. He was really good on that. He was in a bunch of other things also. But I loved him in Always Sunny in Philadelphia because he was such a creepy dude in that. Oh, he was also in Westworld. Yeah, he was in Westworld.
What was he? Because I only watched the one season of Westworld.
He was William. He was one of the guys who I think he became like he was the owner or something like that. Like he was one of the big wigs in it. House of Cards, he was in it.
Oh, another one I watched.
But yeah, Liam McPoyle was his name in McPoyle in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But yeah, he was great in that. And then he was great. He's great in this. I really enjoy him in this. So
he's very menacing.
Yes, he's very menacing. So Jimmy, if you want to be on a show and tell us all about
it,
please come on.
We'll bump Dave for you.
We'll bump Dave Filoni to talk to you. We sure will. Jimmy Simpson, I wrote that he's awesome. I am not a fan, not of Nala Say. I won't say I'm not a fan of Nala Say. I like Nala Say. I don't like the way George Lucas made her in episode 2 of the movies. The way they talk very slowly.
Yep.
It drives me insane. So between her talking slowly,
they had to stretch out the episode. So
yeah,
I figured
give her more lines. And then Jimmy Simpson, he's very deliberate with all of his words as well.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody is so. And it's not that they're overacting, like it's the way the characters are supposed to be.
Yep.
But it's like. Like I don't want to say it feels like a high school drama club, but I'm like just talk, people, just talk, you know, like, but whatever. So I wasn't a big fan of that. I was saying that everybody has a sinister voice, And then my last rundown before we get into breaking down is this is where Dave listens to the show. I've said numerous times that we need more pets in Star Wars.
Sure.
And sure enough, Bad Batch, she now has her pet, Batcher.
Which, with her accent, sounds like she's saying Badger.
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 I thought she was saying, like Blatcher. I'm like, so I'm writing in, like, Blatcher, and finally I got Batcher out of it.
Oh, we always, we're a closed caption family. We have the closed captioning on, like, everything we watch.
So he's a Lucra hound. He's cool looking. I like him. I like and I like the really mean one. Had big, mean, nasty fangs.
Yeah.
And Batcher, she, Batcher's a girl.
Yes.
Has smaller teeth. Sure. Maybe because she's a female. I don't know. Maybe or maybe she's just younger. She's a baby. Whatever.
Or maybe because she's just such a good girl.
She's just such a good girl. You're such a good girl. Who's a good girl? Batcher, you're a good girl.
It's true.
All right. So I have a TV rundown, whatever. But so what did you think of the first episode? That's when we introduced.
I liked the first episode quite a bit. I feel like especially in the animated series, whenever we start getting whispers of the Emperor, we know like, oh, things are going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So just the fact that we got to see him, I guess it was episode 3 we saw him first.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it was episode 1, you know, we kind of got a lot of like setup, like, but you know, it was cool to see like the like, oh, Nala Se is, she's doing what she has to do, but she's not really cooperating. She's throwing away the blood,
right? Because she knows that Omega is special, right. More special.
Mm-hmm. We still haven't really been told why, right?
At the end of episode 3, because then
they're talking about the M count, right?
The M count,
but
yes.
That's the first, and we've been talking about since,
right?
I bet she's force sensitive. Yep. So, but like this is kind of like the proof, I guess, that we've been kind of waiting for.
Yeah, because
so
we still haven't seen her use the force at all,
right?
In episode 4, she does play. I was gonna say poker. She does play
whatever that game is. That
it was different than
the one that she was taught.
Yeah. Yes.
It was not the same one.
It was not the same one that you can buy in Walt Disney World.
Right.
It was a different card game. But so we see that she's good at cards, but we don't see her use the force to win any of the games.
Right.
She just is just very alert, I guess, when it comes to things.
And there are a couple spots in there where she's like using the, you know, the stuff she's learned in her travels and stuff. So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But the M count thing, like, I don't know, anytime they say that, I'm still just kind of like, oh, midichlorians.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're trying
especially to, since they very clearly, like, are leaning into the anyone can use the force sort of angle. Like, the M count thing just seems a little too
superfluous. Yeah, it's weird. Maybe because this time frame is right after or during the same time as the Clone Wars.
Right.
That they're so focused on M counts, and because now at the same exact time that we're getting this show, now it's a different time in Star Wars,
right.
But we just watched Ahsoka, where we're now learning that if you try hard enough, you can use the force.
Right.
You know, so why are we leaning into the M count? But now we're leaning
maybe,
into...
Maybe it's because, you know, it's very clear that it's Project Necromancer. They're setting up
right.
the, you know, the contingency plan for Palpatine and probably Snoke and all these things.
Yeah.
I was going somewhere
with
that.
The M count.
So, oh yeah. So maybe like they're going to pull a thing where it's like, oh, the clone body can only be sustained if the levels are X, Y, Z, whatever. I don't know, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see where they go with that.
Yeah, because they're now basically tying Omega to Grogu also because
he's got that high
M count as well.
Yep.
So now,
and I mean, you think about what the like this is clearly, you know, they were trying to get Grogu clearly for Project Necromancer,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. So it has to do something.
Maybe we'll see Grogu.
Maybe he'll be laying on a table somewhere.
Little baby Grogu will just
Yeah. So, first episode, she and Omega and Nala Se are working together. The other girl who's there with the glasses.
Yes.
I don't know if you picked up on that's actually Omega's sister as well.
Well, I knew she was a clone.
Yeah, she's also a clone. In the end of season two, she says, at the very end, she says, I'm your sister. So because she's also a clone, so she said she's Omega's sister. But you can tell that she doesn't have the same worldly vision.
She toes the party line.
She does toe the party line. She doesn't have the same worldview that Omega has now that she's been out there.
No, she's been beaten down by the world.
She's been beaten down by the world.
She doesn't have that same bright-eyed optimism Omega
has. She doesn't.
You know, she's seen some stuff, Rob.
She has seen some stuff.
Like us.
Like us.
Warriors.
She's grown up on the wrong side of the tracks like we have.
That's right.
So, first episode's all about Omega being now trapped and her trying. And then she sees, what's his name, Crosshairs. And going back to them being marionettes, when you see the clones being marched all over the place, they're all hunched over because they're, you know, they're in prison.
They're
sad, and I'm sure they're being malnourished and all that stuff. But they did have a very exacting walk.
Yeah.
There was like three of them walking together. They all looked exactly the same. And it goes back to what you were saying about them being marionettes, because I can see them taking a marionette and like hunching it over, and they go, this is how we do it.
Yep.
Yeah. So as soon as you said that, that was the scene that popped
into my
head.
Now I
want
to see a Star Wars puppet show.
I know, right?
We should
make our own Star Wars.
Take this show on the road.
Take it on the road. Can we have you and I in the corner talking?
It.
Blah, 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 blah. And then we'll
shut up, Rob. I'm going to use the force on you. No, you're not. Abracadabra. That's not Star Wars.
Abracadabra. I have my I was going to say sword. What's the thing that Harry Potter has?
It's a wand.
A wand. I have my wand. I was like, what's it called?
It's as good as a sword, right?
It is.
It's like, it reminds me of the Romeo plus Juliet with Claire Danes and Leo DiCaprio, where they're like, I draw my sword, and then draw a Glock.
And they draw a Glock, and they're driving in cars, like convertibles.
Yeah, they got like El Camino and stuff. Yeah. I actually really liked that when I was a kid. I was probably too young to watch it.
It was funny because they had it all modernized, but they still spoke in Shakespearean talk.
It was exactly the same script, just like set in New York or some crap.
Speaking of, was it Romeo and Juliet? The original one, they're now...
Like in like the 1400s?
No, the original movie. I remember watching it in high school. They filmed it in like the 70s or something like that, or maybe it was the early 80s, late 70s. But there was a scene in there where Romeo and Juliet were together.
Yeah,
and
it's most of the show, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, together.
Oh, they were doing the thing.
They were doing the thing. And they were minors at the time.
Oh, they were like 14
they
and
were
12
like 14,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
And now they're trying to re-release it.
Oh, good.
And those two actors are like suing, like, no, you can't, we were children.
Oh, the actors were minors.
The actors were minors.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew the kids were, like, the characters were supposed to be minors, but all right.
Yeah, so so there's a big, like, they're like, no, you can't re-release that. We were minors, so it'll be interesting, whatever. Anyway, back to Star Wars.
How many times do we have to say that in any given podcast?
Oh, my God. This is
anyway, comma,
anyway.
Back to Star Wars.
So she's looking for a way out. She sees Crosshairs. She goes and she finds Crosshairs.
It's like, Crosshair, we're going to get out of here.
And
he's like, we're not going to get out of here, mate. We're stuck in here forever. And she's like, nah, mate, we're going to get out. And he's like, no, don't you get it, kid. This is the end of the line.
He's Jason Statham, apparently.
He is Jason Statham.
He is kind of Statham-like.
It is very Statham-like, yeah. Yep, so she's determined to get him out.
That's my British, or my Australian accent, by the way. I think
that's a good Australian accent.
I've been watching a lot of Bluey.
Okay, yeah.
I understand a lot of Bluey. Yeah.
Now, are you into, I know they're old now, but the Wiggles,
I never watched the Wiggles.
Oh.
Honestly, the only thing we watch is Bluey.
Okay.
Sometimes Sesame Street.
So I started watching a couple of episodes of Bluey to see what it was all about.
It's great.
It's pretty good.
It's one of the, like, Vanjie will go to bed. And it will stay on. Not because I'm like, oh, I want to watch me some more Bluey, but because it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you, yeah.
And there are always the moments that you watch and you're like, there's one or two episodes that I like, I lose it.
Yeah, I understand.
So good.
Trey used to watch, who is the bald kid?
Oh, Caillou.
Caillou.
I hear Caillou's the worst.
He's the worst.
I hear like every parent has told me, avoid Caillou.
Oh, my God.
Apparently
he's so
a bad
whiny.
Kid.
Yeah, he's a bad kid. He's so whiny. Me, mom. Oh, my God.
Peppa Pig is another one I'm trying to avoid.
Try to avoid Peppa Pig.
But, yeah, no. We put on Bluey, and she is happy as a clam, so that's what we leave
so
on
because
we love it. So.
Yeah. I think she wants to watch SpongeBob.
I'd be fine with SpongeBob. I tried watching a little Avatar. I was talking to Rob earlier. I started watching the new live-action Avatar. If you have not watched it, go watch it.
It's really rad.
That being said, I can only really watch it when my wife is with me, and because of my schedule right now, my wife is never with me.
Right. You guys are always working. Yeah.
So I was like, I need my Avatar fix. So today when I got home, I was like, I'm going to put on the Avatar cartoon. Maybe she'll like it. And I put it on. She kind of checked it out. I went into the kitchen for something. By the time I came back, she had the remote in her hands, and she was changing the channel.
Did she know how to, or she was just like pushing buttons?
No, she doesn't know how to get to Bluey.
Okay.
But she knows that remote will make Bluey happen.
We'll put Bluey on. She's like, Bluey.
Yep. So she just grabbed it, and she's just like.
She's like, I know. I saw
like a lab rat on
amphetamines,
just like pressing buttons.
This is going to happen.
Yeah.
So. All right, and
back to
Star Wars. Yeah, so episode one, she finds Crosshairs, and she's like, I'm determined to get out. And Nalase knows that her blood has some special qualities.
Has that M in it.
Yeah, so her sister keeps trying to do blood counts on her.
She toes the party line.
She toes the party line, and Nalase keeps destroying her samples so that they will never show up in the system because she knows that... She has what the Emperor and what the Empire is looking for.
His new groove.
Mm. Yeah, she's in purple capes and stuff like that.
Love it.
Then we see episode two, Paths Unknown. So now we see the other, what's left of the Bad Batch, because...
Tech's gone,
but is he gone?
Is
anyone really gone in Star Wars?
I mean,
I think...
Listen, Darth Maul was chopped in half.
And he came back.
I think Tech can fall a little bit.
I hope that by episode 15, the whole Bad Batch all gets back together.
The whole Bad Batch.
And then they all...
Along with all the rest of the clones.
All the clones, yes.
And all the Jedi that were
they
killed.
The ones that were killed are all killed. But Tech is not killed. He just fell, and we don't know where he fell into.
He fell down Goboon.
He fell into a marshmallow pit.
Yeah.
And just
lucky all those marshmallows were there.
And I know.
They were peeps, actually.
He's still bouncing on
which
peeps
made it,
right now.
Which made it fine to fall on, but sticky.
Sticky,
you know what I mean? It's
a little
got
sticky.
That sugar
yeah.
On
uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. And don't shoot it because, yeah, it's too messy.
Yeah.
All right. So we see the other two guys. We see Hunter and
Wrecker.
And so they are determined to find...
We're not going to leave her in there.
We're going to get her.
She's been in there long enough. We're not going to leave her alone like that.
Remember what happened last time we went in without backup?
Oh, I remember. Crikey. But we got to do it anyway.
We got to do it anyway. Let's go get that get that stingray. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. it's too soon.
Too soon? Sorry. It's only been 30 years.
Not 30 years. Since the Crocodile Hunter died, Croc Hunter was alive
maybe,
for a long time while I was
maybe
alive.
Maybe 20 years?
20 is possible. I will concede that maybe when I was 16 he died, but I don't think even then. I'm betting like 10 or 15 years.
All right.
Let's see.
He died on 2006.
That is 15 years.
15 years ago. Yeah, okay. So you take that. All right. So
I knew I was at least out of high school.
Okay.
Because like, I didn't know what the hell was going on outside of Manahawk in New Jersey before
right.
I left
before
high school.
Before you left high school,
know?
Yeah. You didn't know there was anything outside
exactly.
of Manahawk in New Jersey. So Wrecker and Hunter are trying to find her. You see them go to... they took a pike to...
So it's that same species that the red guy... In The Mandalorian, remember when with
yeah.
the episode with Bill Burr? Mm-hmm.
I think they're like
Deveronian.
Deveronians.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's almost like a devil, but
yep.
Deveronians, yes.
And you had the queen who had the really rad horns,
yeah.
and her like advisor who had one chopped off.
Uh huh.
Who I guess like they
must
were just,
have been like her relative of some
yeah.
sort or whatever.
And I guess they've
know.
Just been pissed about it.
uh huh.
And so like the Bad Batch comes in like, hey, we got your horn, bro.
We got your horn here. This is the guy that did it. That's what it says there. Devorian captain. So he's just a captain. Liam O'Brien was that actor. So they're like, well, what do you want? You know, it must have been important to you if you're going to go against the pikes like this. And they're like, we need to know where our friend is.
Why are a shrubbery?
So that takes them to this planet where they're they were there,
but they left.
But they left,
and they scorched Earth on their way.
They
out.
Scorched it on the way out. They said, "We want nobody to see this," and they were developing all kinds of crazy creatures to basically, I guess, annihilate annihilate planets.
You know what my brain did as soon as the kid said, "Don't touch the vines."
You
my
knew
brain
that.
Said, Someone's gonna
you know, especially Wrecker.
It's gonna be Wrecker.
Wrecker's like that big, like, oh, he's like, oh, I didn't know I put my fist through that wall. Oh,
there's a vine there. Oh, yeah.
Let me move this vine out of the way. Oh, I forgot you said don't touch the vines.
And then they're like, don't shoot it. Okay. Pop, pop, pop,
but
pop, pop,
I need to shoot it. This is what I do. I shoot things.
I shoot things with my gun.
So they find three child clones.
Yeah, basically little baby Boba Fetts.
Little baby Boba Fetts running around. And
all in the jungle.
All in the jungle. Yep, they were the only three left. So
all the other Bobas died.
All the other Bobas are dead. So they team up with them, and they go to try and get the information as to hopefully they're going to find out where they move to after this, because they need to find Omega. And in the process, they're fighting against vines. They're fighting against the Pit of Cacaroon.
Yeah, a giant Sarlacc.
A giant.
This is maybe only the second Sarlacc we've seen.
Right.
In like Star Wars canon.
So, yeah. So they.
It was a big one, too.
It was a very big one.
Yeah.
It was very
bigger
one.
Than the Pit of Cacaroon one.
And much more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean.
The Pit of Cacaroon didn't really
he
like.
He's kind of like, meh.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just wait for you to come to me.
And we didn't see his little beak, though.
No, no beak. Just lots of teeth. And it was, of course, you know, they had to add the drama. So it was funny when they drop all the hand grenades in. The whole box of it, perfectly right between all the teeth. And then the last one is like a pinball machine.
Ding, 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 ding. It's like Plinko on Price is Right.
And then
it made metallic sounds.
Yeah, like the teeth were metallic. I wasn't expecting the teeth to be metallic. Ding, 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 ding. And then it did the last, like.
It's like one of those coins at the,
at
the mall.
At the mall, yeah.
If someone were to drop, I don't know, a hand grenade on my tooth.
Right.
From like 70 feet up.
Uh-huh. It would not be making a metal sound.
I don't think it'd make that sound.
No.
I think it'd make more of a crunch.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah.
If it had like hit one of those teeth and like cracked it, right. I would have been fine with that.
But I think it's also because
realism ruined.
Right.
Immersion gone.
Because they were saying that these were like creatures that the Empire were building, were making.
Oh, so this was a super strong
Sarlacc. This is a super Sarlacc. This is like the
super Sarlacc. I like that.
Super Sarlacc. This is like the Wolverine. Like it was the teeth were covered in
adamantium.
Adamantium, yes.
That's I mean,
so that's why it was getting
there.
the yes. Because the last thing that you would want is, you know, metal teeth to rust or anything like that. So they had to be.
I mean, it's maybe not the last thing I'd want, but it's certainly on the bottom of my
bottom
list.
Of your list. Yeah, rusty teeth are bad.
Teeth
so
that turn into guacamole whenever you say the word cheese is probably not
is
great
very
either.
Bad. Yes. So
I say cheese a lot.
You do cheese. So they took they go and they save the day. They get the data, but it still doesn't really help too much. And they take the three kids.
Heartburn.
They gave it a lot of heartburn. They take the three kids to a little island.
They just let them go like they're the Lost Boys.
The
now.
Lost Boys. But that island that they're talking about was the one from season two, which is where I'm sure everybody's going back to.
Right.
And then so now we're up in the air. Oh, no. Are they ever going to find Omega? But don't worry. The third episode comes right after that.
Usually I have found in a lot of previous shows to this, not just in Star Wars, but in all sorts of things, is that almost always the fourth episode is the one that comes right after the third.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. Right after.
Right after.
Immediately after.
Yeah, so it works out well that way. That
not
way
always.
You don't get confused.
Yeah,
yeah.
But almost always.
So then in the third episode, we are now with
we're back
the shadows
on Mount
of
Tantus, right?
Back on Tantus, and we get more information about all the blood and everything, and some creepy dude in a cape shows up.
Yeah, and dun, red buddies.
Dun. Yeah, with some red buddies walking around protecting him. Ian McDiarmid is back.
Did he voice it?
He did
That's
voice
great.
It, yeah.
He did not voice it in the show, or like the Clone Wars, right?
I don't think so.
So it's interesting that they got him for this.
Yeah, in IMDb.
But he
says,
also just recently came out with like an interview where he talked about it. So I'm wondering if he's going to be doing some more stuff.
Could be.
The Acolyte's coming out. It'd be great if that.
Yeah, I can't wait. That looks really good. So that's coming out in July or June. Yeah. June, I think. So we'll have the Acolyte to talk about that also afterwards. So, yep, Ian McDermott's back. Omega said, I spent most of my life on Camino. I won't be trapped here, too. That was one of her quotes from this episode. So this is when she's really breaking out. And at this point, what's her name? Her boss, creator, Becky.
Nala Say. Sorry, the other girl's Becky.
Yes. Becky, the other girl, finally gets her blood through.
Yes.
And Nala Say wasn't able to save it and remove it. And so now everybody knows that she has high M counts. And what did they say?
They're going to be talking about that tomorrow at school. Oh, did you hear about Omega? She's got high M counts.
Omega and her high M counts.
Oh, my God. I heard about it on TikTok.
Everybody's talking about it. So now they want her. She does escape. She escapes through the dog tunnel.
Yes.
Gets out, as
we could have predicted.
Yes, because she became friends with the dog. She tamed it.
And, of course, Batcher is just out there waiting for her.
Waiting for her, crying, "Moo, where's my friend? Moo."
I was expecting her to do what's the movie where he throws the rocks at the puppy?
Oh, yeah. He's like, go away.
Yeah. Go on, get it.
Go and get.
Go leave.
Yeah.
A white fang. I was expecting him to white fang her.
To white fang her. Get out. Don't go leave. I don't love you. Get out of here.
Is it? Or else I guess they also do that. That's a pretty classic trope, but they do it in Game of Thrones as well.
Okay.
With
Is that when they did it to?
To Arya's direwolf.
Yes. Yeah.
After he bits Sansa.
They say you can't.
You should know. Don't you have another podcast that's going to be coming back soon?
It's coming back soon. So
the Dragon podcast.
Kim's excited about that.
Nice,
yes.
Dude.
So Emperor comes. He's angry. He wants all this stuff. Yeah. And
Hemlock's like to Nala Say. He's like, hey, bro. I hope you're not like. Making this go slower because old Palpy over here.
He'd be pretty upset. Yeah.
So don't do that.
I think
that was verbatim, by the way.
That was. That's exactly what he said. Yeah. And then, so she escapes and Palpatine's angry because now they find out Jimmy Simpson, Dr. Hemlock finds out that her M counts are high.
Right. And so they're like, yeah. So Palps leaves.
Yep.
Right. And they're like, oh, let's follow the shuttle. And then they're like, hey, let's go send bad guys to go get them. And then they outsmart them with play number 76 or whatever crap it is.
Do you know play 77? Do you know play 76?
Of course. Heartfelt moment.
Yes.
Tech made me memorize all of them.
I had to memorize them all. Oh, poor Tech. I miss him. He's dead.
Anyway.
He's gone now.
And so the two of them take out like a billion or so stormtroopers.
Yep. It was pretty much exactly a billion.
Yeah, I think a billion, give or take 2 billion.
Yep.
And then they take over the shuttle and they send people after them. They're like, kill them. And she's like, no, wait. And he's like, no. And she's like, no, but really, wait, listen. And he's like, okay. And
he's like, oh, well, now we can't kill her because she has those M counts that we need.
I'm really well known for my succinct breakdown of information and the ability to relay it to others in a way that is very perceptible.
Very perceptible. Yeah. Very precise.
Like, oh my God. And then it's like, no. And it's
And I was like, why? And I was like, that's what happened. Oh my God. Yeah. So rad.
Yes.
Yes.
So yes, girl, that's it.
So that was it. So then she escapes because he has to let her go because they can't kill her because he needs her blood.
I need them M's.
I need her blood. Gotta get them M&M's. And then this week came out.
Not in your hands.
A different approach. Stranded in a dangerous territory, Omega and Crosshairs must work together.
They're in Atlantic City.
This was a fun episode. I liked it.
Yeah.
So as they were leaving, they're
a little more intimate, a little less like, again, that's just that kind of formula they have where it's like something big and then it's like, like a little filler, not a filler, but
a smaller episode.
Yeah, smaller
scale. Yeah. They only use the volume for this one.
Of course.
Because they didn't need to go out big at all. But at the end of the last one, when they were trying to escape, their ship was getting shot. So when it popped them out of
hyperspace
all by itself because.
Lucky there's a planet there.
Right next to a planet.
Like there. There's literally nothing in space.
Yes.
And they just so happen to pop
out
of hyperspace next to a
hundreds
planet.
Of millions of miles.
I'm sure I'm sure I talked about this on the podcast, but I listen to a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it just makes me laugh, because recently they were talking about how far away objects are in the asteroid belt. It's like 60,000 miles between objects.
Yeah, you were saying in
Empire,
we see the asteroids are so close
and they're like
together.
Colliding with each other and yeah. causing explosions.
And you were like, no,
60,000
there's 60,000 miles between asteroids. Yeah.
But
yeah.
these people,
every time they come out,
they just pop into space next to a planet.
Right, next to a planet every single time. And you, I think you were also saying about how, or maybe it was when Chris was here, proportion is always so off. Like, yep. the ships look so big next to the planet when they're out in yep. space. Like, when you're flying around the outside of the planet, you just see, oh, there's the other ship over there.
As a, yeah.
Like, you can't see, you can't even see from here to Manahawkin, New Jersey, mm-hmm. but I can see 3/4 of the way around the planet and yep. see that the other ship is over
and,
there.
And it's funny when you listen, like, when you watch or you read some of the books, or you listen to the audiobooks, and some of the authors, especially the author for, like, Thrawn,
okay.
he goes into some of these, like, distances, and he, like, talks about how, like, these starships, like, you got an Imperial Star Destroyer and these TIEs, and they're all flying in formation, and they got to send the TIEs out 30 kilometers. You know what I mean? It's right. like, oh, they're flying 30 kilometers that way, and it's like right in, they're flying in formation with each other.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
that's the scale we're talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we can be on the same side of a planet and be 20,000 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
We're not going to see each
we're
other
not gonna
in our,
see
in
each
our
other.
Viewports.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's so many ways that, you know, the ships can escape the planet, but they always get caught in a checkpoint. Like, yep. there's hundreds of millions of miles.
If you literally direct your route this much, yeah. you're going to wind up thousands of miles
away from the checkpoint. Yeah, it's so funny. But anyway.
That's why we call Star Wars fantasy.
That's
and not
right.
science
and
fiction.
And not science fiction. So on this one, they crash near, luckily near a city. And right before everything.
So not only just right next to a planet, but a civilized planet.
A civilized planet where oxygen and heat levels and gravity are all fine.
With trade connections.
Yep.
Man, it's the Force.
Very lucky. It is the Force. It's got to be the Force.
When in doubt, it's the Force.
So they go into town, and then, of course, they see stormtroopers. And so Omega's like, oh, no. And Crosshair's like, nope, they couldn't have figured it out yet. So they're just that's just a regular patrol.
Yep.
And then she says, okay, well, and this is the other part that made me laugh. Well, we need to get in disguise. And, of course,
cover our face with.
Right. But people leave helmets, jackets, a backpack
just lying around.
And nobody notices that you're swiping them all.
Yeah. Hey, here's a random helmet. Like, do people, like, go to a bar and, like, they don't let them bring the helmets in? It's like, hey,
right.
leave your helmet
outside.
Leave
it out on the curb. Leave your jacket on the curb over here. Yeah, so I always love when that happens in TV shows and movies. They're able to find clothes and just swipe them.
There's a missing, like an escaped convict in our area right now, and I feel like that happens every 2 weeks anymore.
Yeah.
But like I always think about that. Like, it's like, all right, this guy was in a prison jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Like, people saw him running around in a prison jumpsuit. How the hell are we not like finding this guy yet? Did he really make it to some dude's house already? And they got him in some freaking sweatpants. Like,
right.
What
like he got into somebody else's clothes that quickly.
He was in cuffs when he was running from the people. Oh boy.
So then they go into town and this is a cute scene. Omega tries to get on one of those ships over there. And he's
right.
like, right, all right, go ahead. He's like, I could take out half of the people before
right,
I even see
them all out before they even knew. I'll go get my gun.
And she's like, I want to do this the nice way. He's like, whatever. So then she goes over and she's like, how much is it? What do they ask for? Chain codes?
Chain code, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we might have forgotten it. And they're like, okay. She's like, how much? And I like, she's like showing the money sign. How much would it cost for us if we forgot that?
It's like, she picks up like a $5 bill and just like,
where's that $1
here
bill?
You go.
How many George Washingtons right. do you need? I got
yeah.
two
Has
of them over
first
here.
First president, change your mind. He had wooden teeth, you know.
On Impractical Jokers, there was one where he was the host at a real swanky restaurant in New York City that you needed like a reservation for 60 days out, right?
Yeah.
So people are coming in and he's like, yeah, you're not on the list. And he's like, I made this reservation 60 days ago. He's like, I don't know. You can wait over there. Maybe somebody will get up or whatever. And then they tell him, they say, see if anybody will tip you $20 for a seat. And he goes, if anybody's with And is it Andrew Jackson? Yeah. Who's on this one? Yeah. If anybody's with Andrew Jackson, I think your table's ready. And then one person walks over and goes, are you asking for a $20 tip? He goes, I don't know. And she's like, she pulls out a 20, puts in his hand. He goes, Andrew Jackson and company, follow me this way.
That's great.
That was so funny.
That's a good one.
But yeah, so it was it'll cost them $30,000 on the DL to get on the, or 30,000 credits.
So like, what the hell is the exchange rate for,
I know,
for
right?
a credit?
Right. Because
this little girl, in a matter of hours, gambles 45, 35 grand.
Right. She's able to get
from nothing.
Are they
like dollars or are they like yen?
Right.
Like, there's got to be one of the
yeah,
other,
like
right?
how much
like
is it?
Is 1,000 yen like $7?
Or like pesos, you know, yeah. like 1,000 pesos is like 25 cents or something.
But like,
but yeah,
it seems like an exorbitant amount of money.
Right. And she had to be a really good game. She had to win, first off. I don't know how she was able to make the first bet without putting any credits into the pot.
Yep.
Because any good gambler is not going to just take your word for it. You got to put something down there. Throw the keys to the Millennium Falcon down there or something. I don't know. But you got to throw something into the pot first. So somehow she went from absolute. Did you ever see that guy who traded paperclip all the way up to?
It's The Office. I was just thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He goes all the way up to the telescope.
Yes.
And then he trades the telescope for the magic beans from Jim.
And Dwight is like, then he's like mad. He's like, these magic beans.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Yeah, like
a
he realized.
The Office reference in this.
I know. It's very good. It's very good.
Killing it. Find us next time on our Star Wars The Office
crossover
podcast.
Show, yes. So somehow she manages to get the gambler guy for 30,000 credits. Then the Imperial officer shows up.
Fooled you.
And he says, oh, no. Go ahead. I'll play you. And she takes his money, too. And then he.
But wait.
But wait. There's more. He says, oh, no.
Gambling's illegal.
Gambling's illegal. But I will take a bribe of 10,000 credits for you to walk out of here right now. And she's like, okay. So she immediately gets up to like 40. She gives away 10. Then she goes outside and finds out that her dog is gone. So she has to pay off the kid that's out there, 5,000 credits.
Yeah.
And then to get the dog out of lockup, it's another 20, or what did he say, all of your credits or something
whatever
like that?
Got, I mean,
yeah. So then they're about to do that. And then this is great when she throws the money down and then she says to Crosshairs, let's do it your way.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. I got this.
All right. And then he pew, pew, pew. He takes out like half of them.
This is Star Wars after all.
It is.
Not
because
Star
you can
Games.
just, you know, murder people right on the street. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I've
seen it in like eight movies.
Eight movies at least.
Just indiscriminate space murder. And no one bats an eye.
And no one bats an eye. If you go to a bar or a casino, expect somebody to get murdered while you're there.
Imagine like you were just a person in New Jersey. And like one might be, and you're like, all right, I'm going to go to Atlantic City. And you knew going to Atlantic City, you're like, all right, I'm on the AC Expressway, right? I'm going to stop at Cheese Quick maybe on the way down.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grab myself a snack. I'll go in. We'll go to Bally's. A couple people might die.
Somebody will die.
Right. I'll see someone get shot while I'm at the slots. But then I'll just go to the Hard Rock.
Right. And somebody at the Hard Rock, one of the pit bosses, will hit somebody in the back with a stun baton and then
drag them out.
Yeah.
And you'll be like,
okay.
And they're like, I'm sorry for the disturbance, everyone.
It's okay. There's
round
nothing
on
to
us.
See here. Yeah. Jedi business.
Jedi. Go about your drink. go about your drinks.
Go back to your drinks. Jedi business.
Imagine being in that world. We were born truly in the wrong time. If only we were born in a galaxy far, far away and long,
I know,
long ago.
A long time ago. Yeah. Shit. Oops.
You're going to have to. And at the very end, Rob's going to have to
so
edit
funny.
Just a little bit.
Where that's 1 hour, 8 minutes in. Oh, my goodness. That's so
that's
funny.
That's great. And that's about the end of the episode, right?
Pretty much. So then they steal a ship to get off the planet because now they have no money left. They let all the pets out that are all caught. They let all the pets out. They get their dog back. They run into the cargo ship right there. They're stealing the ship. And then they shoot the last couple of people who are shooting them. They take off. And they know that the ship's going to be tracked, so they have to dump it somewhere. So they set coordinates to dump it somewhere. Omega finally is able to send a encrypted message to Wrecker and Hunter.
Wrecker and Ralph.
Wrecker and Ralph. And Crosshairs is like, they're not coming. She's like, they're coming. I know they're coming. So they land their ship in this whatever planet that they're on. And they're waiting, and sure enough, parked right next to them, here comes the other ship.
Big planet.
They know the exact coordinates on the planet to go to. That must be order or plan 61, is to go to this planet on these coordinates. And here comes Wrecker first. Very emotional, big getting back together moment. And then Hunter comes out. The three of them are all giving each other big hugs. And then Crosshairs walks out, and they're all looking at each other, and then dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, he wasn't very nice to them.
No, he was very mean to them, but
he did try to put some holes in them several times.
Look, when you have a chip in your head,
they all
that tells
chips.
You to do things, and you don't take the
stop,
chip out.
Stop making excuses for the clones who murdered people, Rob. I've always said this about you. You're
it's
too much of a clone
fault.
Apologist.
I'm a clone apologist. It's not his fault. He didn't mean to do it.
It wasn't his fault. He was exposed to Harry Potter. That's the third office reference.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a nice little.
That's a good bow. Right on the show. So
that's
there we go.
Bow on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Bow on the show.
Well, it's been fun being back. Let's make sure.
We're going to break down episode 5 next week. Are we going to be able to do that? It comes out on Wednesdays. Can we get together after Wednesday?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm not going to say on the air definitely because Pagan has her show that starts next weekend, but I think we should be good for next week.
Okay. Did they have the run through on Thursday?
I don't remember.
No, run through is on Wednesday. I don't think they do anything on Thursday, and the show's on Friday.
Right.
We could do it on Thursday.
Maybe Thursday. Stay tuned.
Will we be back in a week or will we not?
Will Rob's beard ever grow back?
I shaved it down pretty short.
I know. I'm a little upset about it.
Yeah, I'm done with the mountain man look.
Yeah, from all of us here who are upset about that at Bantam Milk
Podcast,
we have spoken.
We have